we've just witnessed two sisters of ours go through the waters of baptism. And you know, it is such a wonderful thing to experience, but it's hard to tell you exactly what it is. It's something you've got to experience for yourself. But why should believers be baptized? That's what people normally ask. This morning we witnessed our two sisters go through the water, we listened to their testimonies, and they were really heartfelt. I know I was in here in tears for both of them, because we don't really know what each other goes through. But the Lord knows everything that happens in our lives, and He is the one that we can all depend on to see us through, if we can call Him our Heavenly Father. You know, the reason our two sisters wanted to be baptized was their desire to be obedient to God. Because in the Great Commission, we are told, all believers are told, to go into the world, preach the gospel, and to baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, which you witnessed here this morning. Yes, baptism is a public testimony, an acknowledgement to family, friends, and everybody else that you've made a commitment to the Lord. Baptism is an act of obedience that must be preceded by repentance, which simply means to change, to turn away from your sinfulness, your selfishness, and to serve the Lord. You know, how do you serve the Lord? By putting your pride to bed and to giving your life completely to Him and allow Him to determine your steps. Because Scripture tells us that He does have a plan for us, a plan to prosper us and not to harm us, a plan to give us hope and a future. But you know, it's like sat-nav in your car. If you don't listen to it, you'll end up in the wrong place probably. Sometimes you can end up in the wrong place by listening to it, I know. But that's another thing. But you know, the Lord, if you listen to Him, you will never go wrong. You'll be kept on the straight and the narrow. And you know, we know that we can rely on Him to meet all of our needs and even some of our wants. And that's a great comfort to all of us who believe. Baptism, as Rob already said this morning, symbolizes death and resurrection of Jesus. Paul the Apostle tells us in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Then we move on to the resurrection part, and Paul again tells us in Romans this time, in Romans 6, 3 to 5, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with Him in a death like this, we will certainly also be united with Him in the resurrection like His. You know, it's a sad fact today in this world, there are even God-fearing Christians who as yet, for one reason or another, haven't gone through the waters of baptism. Some people leave it a long time. Some people aren't ready yet. And I emphasize it yet, but you know, as long as there's life, there is hope. Some may not just have got around to it. Maybe they feel embarrassed about giving their baptism testimony to the church, which can be daunting. And our two sisters were very brave and very clear and concise in their testimony. Many churches, they don't even have the opportunity to get baptized because many churches believe that baptism is all about infant baptism, which isn't scripturally based. It's merely a man-made religious rite. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, we read, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." They made point of that scripture. They made even highlight verse 5 of Ephesians 4, which reads, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism." And they say, "Well, I've been baptized, so that covers me." You know, but they may believe that, but personally, I don't believe it. If we're referring to infant baptism here, why? The Great Commission, as we've already said, Jesus instructed his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So it seems quite clear to me that baptism must follow conversion, and not, as some churches do, after conception, a year, maybe or two after the birth. Because whenever you go through baptism, you've got to have a testimony. A baby hasn't got a testimony. And nobody can make a decision for anyone. The only way you can come to Christ is a free will decision to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Nobody can do it for you. A bishop can't touch you in the head and said, "You're all right. I confirm you're a Christian." Nobody can confirm anybody apart from the Lord. So it's important that people realize that. In evangelistic and Baptist churches, this church for instance, when someone comes with a new babe, we offer the chance to dedicate that child to God. And it's a dedication to him, where we ask God to bless the child, we ask him to protect the child against the advances of the evil one. You know, I served in Iraq for a long time, 26 years in all, and one of the laws of military life, I can tell you, is always obey the last order or command. Now, you don't have to just do yourself to me or to anyone else. But let me ask you, how do you think you'll be able to reply if and when the Lord Jesus asks you, "Why didn't you obey my command?" You know, that's one question I know I won't have to answer. And I hope that if you know the Lord, that it's a question that you won't have to answer as well. And with this, I will close. If we're truly serious about following Jesus, then surely we must obey his last order and command, which, as Jesus gave his disciples, we can read in Matthew 28, verse 19, just to keep it short. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And that's what it's all about. It's about obedience to the Lord. Let's pray. Amen. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are here today with us. And even with all of the problems that we had, we have overcome because you tell us we are overcomers because you've overcome the world. And if we believe in you, we can, with your help, overcome it. So Lord, I just want to thank you for these people, these good people who came this morning to witness their friends going through that water. Lord, I just pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will touch them and just bless them. And Lord, I just want to thank you for everyone who took part this morning. I want to thank you for the musicians, especially our sister Ruth here, who's come and played that Clavinova, which we haven't heard for quite some time, beautifully. And for Rob and Linda on the guitars. And for you, Lord, being present with us this morning to bless us richly. And we just pray that you'll be with us as we go across and share in the food that you've provided. No matter who brought it, it's all provided from you, Lord. And we just thank you for all your blessings and all your mercies and your love and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.